Well, to give us some context for our gospel reading today, in the verses right before this, we were told that Jesus is dining in a Pharisee's house, and usually with the Pharisees, you had other Pharisees, people of renown within the community, people of reputation and stature, and so you had good food, good wine, good conversation with highly educated people, so things would be, it's just a good gathering to be around. But then Jesus, he throws in the verses right before this. He tells the people that are gathered there at the Pharisee's house that they needed to invite the lame and the crippled and the blind and so forth to the banquet. That way, and not just invite your friends, he says. Because the people that are poor or lame or crippled and so forth, they cannot repay you. You know, you can't go to their house for a party. They can't host everyone like you can. And so there'll be no repayment. And then he says, your repayment will be in the resurrection of the just, right? So in the resurrection, yeah, then any kind of sacrifice you had to make or any kind of awkwardness in conversation that resulted from such mixed company, it doesn't matter. It's all okay in the resurrection of the just. And then we continue on with our text where one of the Pharisees who's reclined at the table with Jesus heard him say these things. And he says to Jesus, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Sounds like a very pious comment, right? Something we could probably say amen to. But in the prior verse, or in the verses right before this, again, what does Jesus say? He says, when you have a banquet, invite the poor, the lame, the blind, and so forth. But what does this Pharisee say? He says, blessed is everyone who will eat. Jesus is talking in present tense. The Pharisee is making a statement about the future. Yeah, the kingdom of God is in the future, right? Then we can all be at the table together. But now, no, that's awkward. I mean, we can't have all of this mixed company. And so he says, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And Jesus corrects this thinking with this parable. And Jesus says to this Pharisee, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. It's not a future event. It is now, in contradiction to what the Pharisee had said, we'll eat. Jesus said, everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses, the people who were invited. The first said to him, I bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Actually, it's a little harsher in the Greek. It's more literally, please mark me down as rejecting. And so, I bought a field. I must go out and see it. Please mark me, have me rejecting. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me rejecting. And another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so the servant came and reported these things to his master, and then the master of the house became angry. I don't know, I've hosted some parties or whatever, and I've had people that didn't come up, that didn't show up, and they had their excuses. I don't know that I've ever been angry. I've been greatly disappointed. But what's with the anger of the master? Why would he react in such a way? Well, first of all, again, I think the fact that they are rejecting his invitation, he's saying everything is ready now, all you got to do is just show up, and then they start offering their excuses. Now, these excuses are actually given to us in the Torah. In Deuteronomy chapter 20 and in chapter 24, each of these excuses can be used rightly for young men to get out of going to war. Isn't that interesting? Here the Lord, the master, is saying, here's a feast, and they're offering excuses as if the Lord had declared war on them. Such hostility in their rejection. They don't view it as a gracious invitation. They view it as a declaration of war, whether this master is going to use them to fight, that this feast is maybe a trap in order to use them to fight, or a declaration of war against them themselves. I mean, how crazy is this? Each of these are excuses to get out of going to war. And again, if we remember our study that we just concluded on Leviticus and so forth, that the law that was given so that the people could hold on, maintain their inheritance. They were given land. They were given their possessions. They were given their the family, like having a new wife. You need to ensure that the inheritance is going to be passed down. That and so a young man who's like newly married, he doesn't have to go off to war because he hasn't had any children yet. His station, his family hasn't been built, right? And so he gets an excuse from going to war. But these people see God's gracious invitation, or the master's gracious invitation, to just come and eat with hostility. Why? Why in the world would anybody think an invitation to a party is hostile? Well, I think we could maybe perhaps see through the eyes of the Pharisee, right? Blessed is everyone who will eventually eat in the kingdom of God. But how can there be such feasting now, in the midst of all this suffering, in the midst of all this death, in the midst of all this war? You're telling me the kingdom of God has come now? That's ridiculous, that the feast is ready now. No, the feast is something for the future. After suffering, after death, then we're all together at the feast. But that can't be now. And it definitely can't be in you, Jesus. Right? Jesus is the kingdom of God who has come. His very first sermon that he preaches after being baptized and coming out of the temptation, repent, every one of you, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. A self-reference. He's referring to himself. He is the kingdom come. And so the feast is prepared now, but through our sinful eyes, this cannot be. How can we have any kind of rest knowing that the world is as messed up as it is? We refuse to believe that Jesus is the kingdom come. And the Pharisees would follow through with this rejection, wouldn't they? They would ultimately reject Jesus' invitation into the kingdom. And they would view him as the enemy. And they would kill him. So we see the following through of that line of thinking. The master of the house became angry, and he said to his servant, "Go quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, bring in the poor, crippled, blind, and lame," all of those people that were supposed to be invited to the party anyway. And this master does. He invites all of these less than desirable people to the party, but he doesn't seem to care. And then it's interesting. We're not told of any time passing. It just says, he says, "Go quickly and do this." And the servant said, "Sir, what you commanded has been done already." There's still room. It's already done. As if the servant and the master are of one will and one mind. But this is already done. He's already had come in, and there's still room. This must be a pretty big place, right? You got a lot of those people. And it would have held all of those people who had been invited too. They would have all been, and then been plenty of room. There's still room. And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled." And so we see that's the desire of this master. He doesn't really care who's there. I mean, his desire is for everybody to be there. His desire is that the house be filled. That's what he wants. But there still seems to be room. No matter how much you fill it up, there still seems to be room, and he still desires that it would be fuller and fuller and fuller. And he says, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." Yeah, as long as they refuse the invitation, as long as they continue to reject it, yeah, they're not going to taste it. They don't want to taste it. The Lord gives them what they want. You don't want it? Fine. You'll never taste it. But they can come back. There's still room. There's still more chairs and tables for them to come and feast. And the good thing is, there's also still room for you. Whether you're one of those who have been invited, and maybe you've rejected the offer, there's still a place for you. And the master desires your presence. Or maybe there's still room for those who are brokenhearted or broken and beaten by this world, and you come in limping. Maybe you're even dragged in. It doesn't matter what your station or condition in life is. You are called and invited by the Lord to the feast that is now. Not something necessarily in the future. It is now. The ongoing feast that never ends. All of you Pharisees and all of you poor, crippled, beaten down are invited to come and eat, come and drink, and taste and see that the Lord is good, because you are forgiven all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.